Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful, here with a name you know. How could you not? One of the greatest MLW world champions of all time, Alex Hammerstone, taking on another great MLW champion upcoming at Azteca Lucha May 10th in Chicago. Another sold-out show for MLW. Alex Hammerstone, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. It's always good to talk to you, Sean. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been. It has been. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, you're taking on Kojima, which it might surprise some people, especially people that might not follow MLW as closely, that you two have never had a one-on-one match because you're both identified as two of the greatest MLW world champions of all time, but your paths had never quite crossed yet.
Yeah, well, he was really, you know, making his return and like rebuilding his equity within the company right as I was exiting. So we kind of like missed as during his rise, I was gone. So yeah, it's one of those rare cases where you have a match that everyone's like, yeah, that's happened, right? And then they think about it for a second. It's like, oh wait, no, that's a new fresh matchup. So fans don't know exactly what to expect from it.
Where do you stand on Bread? He's a big Bread fan. It's hard to tell with you because, I mean, listen, you're a big dude. Not exactly a Bread physique, but maybe you're just fooling us.
I'm in a bit of a diet right now, so I had to cut the bread. I have this weird keto bread that's like 90% fiber, and it's like obnoxiously chewy. But so that being said, it's the closest limitation I get to have right now.
Fair.
So maybe I'll take my bread frustrations out on Kojima, and I'll beat his ass, and I'll eat the bread that his fans leave in the ring. So
your relationship with MLW has always been interesting because I know that the last time around you all had a bit of a disagreement, but you came back, you worked and finished out your run there. And people in MLW were like, yeah, he's a pro. And obviously a guy that we want to maintain a positive relationship with. How was that ahead of your initial exit and return? Like, how important was that to maintain that type of relationship that you've held for years and years?
Well, like, the wrestling business is crazy because, like, you see all this stuff, like, never say never, and you see people who you swear hate each other, and then they're friends again. You see people who you swear will never work together, and they work together again, and it's, like, it's no secret that on my exit from the company, we went through a bit of turmoil, and it was extremely frustrating because I did feel that me and Court had built a certain level of relationship and it felt like it was falling apart. So not only was it like, oh, you're leaving your job, but it's like, you know, for someone who's always almost become something of a father figure and like mentor in my life, it was like, he's gone too. Like, you know, but we were able to work out that exit. And on the last, you know, the last shows there, we sat down and we had some serious moments together and, you know, kind of aired our grievance. Got a chance to apologize for where we went wrong because no situation comes like that without both people making some mistakes, both sides making some mistakes, you know, and I'm not ignorant to the fact that I made some. So then over the next year where I was away from the company to have him, you know, go out of his way to maintain a relationship was awesome because it, you know, there's obviously the cynics would say, oh, well, he was just doing that so he could get you back when the time was right. But really, it just felt like keeping in touch with a friend. You know, when I was out with injury, there's not a lot of people. There's not a lot of people who really went out of their way to fucking that I expected to that would reach out to me. But, you know, Court was checking in and just seeing how I was doing, making sure I was going to get a headspace. You know, so it was really cool to kind of rebuild that relationship. So when the opportunity came of, hey, would you be interested in, you know, doing some work together again. Like, we would be love to have you back. It, you know, was kind of a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. It's also very clear, like, and it's something I brought up in previous talks with yourself, with Richard Holiday. It's very clear that Court Bauer and MLW saw something in you all very, very early on in the relationship that you all had and wanted to see that through as well.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. That's something, you know, like I've spoken of, you know, the frustration I had over the last years, you know, working with some people who, you know, maybe at times didn't see that. And it's like, this is such a hard business that when you're surrounded by people who are basically saying like, hey, we don't see anything special in you, you stop seeing it in yourself. And it's like, this isn't a job where you could come and clock in and, you know, just go through the motions. You have to be inspired. You have to be motivated. You have to be excited to put forth your best ideas, to put forth your best creativity, to work through the injuries, to work through the pain, to get up and do the things you got to do day in and day out. You know, it's so to get that back has really like set me mentally on a really good path right now.
You'd mentioned the injury, and I know you've been pretty candid online about that and how you felt during the injury. How are you feeling now? Because I mean, I know you're saying you're dieting right now. You look great. Your out of shape is something that people really wish they could be in any given time. But like, how are you feeling right now?
Yeah, no, I feel great. And I think it's really easy for people to misunderstand what I mean when I say that, because when I was out of shape, I was 285 pounds and jacked with gigantic, you know, 20 inch arms and still some semblance of abs and veins in my legs. And I say, that's not out of shape. And I'm like, no. I was not in ring shape, because for a couple months I could barely do anything on my leg. And then when I could, I was scared to push it. So all I was doing was lifting weights. And like the only thing that was bringing me happiness was progressing the gym. So I looked like a tank, and I came back, you know, my last match at TNA was like one of my first matches back. And I came back and everyone's like, oh man, you look awesome. You look huge. How do you get bigger while you're out with injury? But it's like, then the bell rings and it's like, I'm huffing wind and I'm, you know, I'm nervous about moving around on my knee a certain way. And so for a while there, you know, I was very timid in the ring because I hadn't got a chance to test it. I really rushed back as quick as I possibly could, you know, and, but like I said, like a lot of that was kind of a byproduct of just like me being like depressed and like me not even feeling like really motivated to try that hard. Cause it's just like, I felt like before the injury, I wasn't on a very good trajectory. And then I get injured and I feel like no one even cares. No one even cares if I come back. So by the time I did come back, I was going through the motions, and like, luckily I got snapped out of that pretty quickly, but now I'm feeling great. Now I'm feeling 100%. I've really got to test the leg. I've really got to push it. And I'm back in a really good swing of things.
Speaking of feeling great, I got to thank/blame you for something. You and Jordan Grace, when I was training for my match with Shaza, you all got me into stairs. I would see what you all did. And I remember looking at it specifically, and it's like, Jordan said she would do 90 minutes. And then you would post, you would do 300 flights. So those were my two goals, not regularly, just once. I was like, I want to do that. I want to get there. And I did a couple times, and I even got to 300. And then the next week you posted yourself doing 400 flights. And I was like, well, I'm simply never doing that. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. It's another form of mental torture all on its own. You know, ever since the knee surgery, I still do the stairs, but I've switched over to some more incline treadmills, some biking, some elliptical. It's not just stairs every single day anymore. Cause kind of have to learn my lesson about how much my body can take.
Oh, I just bought a Stairmaster, buddy. For the house. I'm ready.
Now you got no excuse. It's going to be staring at you every morning.
None. Absolutely none. Man, let's talk about something else pretty cool you did recently. The Chris Bay benefit show where you faced Karrion Kross, who's also, you know, a freak in the ring physically as well, but creating a lot of buzz. How was that for you? Because obviously an important night for many reasons.
Yeah, man. It was, you know, something like I always tell young guys when people are like, what advice do you have for me in the business? And they're all like bright eyed. And I'm like, you have to, when you have the great moments, when you have the magical moments, you have to recognize them and savor them and put that and store it in a memory and put it in a trophy case in your head and go admire it. Like whenever you're feeling down, because what we tend to do, it's called the trophy effect, where we don't keep any of our good trophies. We only keep the bad ones. We keep the ones where we messed up a match or someone says something, you know, crappy about us or whatever it is, you know. And that's definitely one of those nights that I'm like, that goes in the good trophy case, because just to get to be a part of that was a huge honor. The getting to be the main event, getting to be in there with Cross, getting to be in there once Bay came out at the end of the show.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
It really felt something I didn't even deserve, like a position I didn't deserve to be. The fact that I really care about Chris, and he and I have been friends for a long time, and our careers have intersected a lot over the years. Especially in FSW, I was just like, wow, it was just such an honor. It's like the match was great. The match was fun. I really had a great time, but none of that even mattered. Like it was just all the other stuff was what made that night so special. And that was truly, maybe once in career type moment that I'm going to walk away up here and going to hold on to for a while.
Yeah, it was such a special show and such a special thing. Chris is just a lovely human being in general. It was great to see so many top wrestlers and companies kind of come together to help facilitate such a thing. You had mentioned some talent that maybe come to you bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. It has been, you know, a little over a year since you had been back in MLW. Are there some new faces there that you're looking at and you're like, yeah, I want to get in there and do something with them? Because once upon a time, it was you and that gentleman, Jacob Fatu, in that position. And it seems like he's doing all right now as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy how much things have changed. But, you know, I've only been back once. And I kind of had it was a huge night being the Battle Riot, the 40 people I'm in a match with, trying to remember 20 different luchadors, and then they put their masks on, and I'm like, oh, wait, which one were you?
Yes.
But the coolest part of it was that to see that the landscape has changed a lot, because that's always exciting. It's, you know, the last thing I wanted was to go back and see all the same people doing all the same stuff, feeling like, oh, okay, just going to go back to playing the hits. Like, there's a lot of familiar faces and a lot of good talent that stayed there, which is awesome. And it's good to have friends. But at the same time, like you said, there's a lot of changeover. There's guys like Dijak who I'd like to work with. There's guys like Riddle. Kojima is a first-time matchup. You got all the guys from CMLO. It's just like there's such a list of first times still to be done. And then if we want to run back and revisit some of the stuff that worked in the past, like that's there to do, and it's been long enough that it's going to feel fresh all over again. But you know, I'm the type who I can't be somewhere very long before I start eyeing some championship belts, so
sure.
I gotta be scanning the field for who's holding what and keep an eye out.
Dijak is the big one for me, because like you have a unique knack of wrestling like guys that are as big or bigger than you, and it being like a special kind of chemistry and magic there as well. So that's one that I look at and I'm like, man, that's one that I gotta see. Like that's one that stands out for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Actually, my first match back from injury was against Dijak. We worked up in Canada, and like I said, that was the time where I was like, I didn't know what my knee can do. I wasn't in great shape, but I had a lot of handicaps holding me back. And even despite all that, it was a really fun, really good match. And I'm just excited to see what we could do at 100%, you know, tearing it up.
Your name's also popped up a lot in speculation, as it always seems to whenever MJF teases anybody being associated with him. And, a lot of that with the Hurt Syndicate. And, I mean, it's brought up because you and Richard Holiday look like people who could be a physical threat to Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin, which narrows the list down pretty quickly. Yeah. How is it to do that? I mean, I haven't heard that that's happening, but, like, is it flattering for you to see people constantly bring you up as a result of that, of somebody saying, yeah, we believe he could compete with Bobby Lashley?
I mean, like, it's a huge honor. I don't have much of a relationship with Bobby. I think I've only met him in passing. But he's definitely someone I'd love to work with. Obviously, you talk about angles like that that just seem like tailor-made. It's just like the world is just coming together to be like, here's this thing you can do. It's kind of guaranteed to work to some extent. You know, that being said, who knows? You know, I'm in a very exciting position where I'm, you know, branching out and working with a lot of companies. But, like, even just, you know, the MLW stuff right now has the, you know, there's talks of me going down to CMLL. There's talks of me going to New Japan with them. It's just like, there's so much stuff that's open to me right now that, like, I'm just trying to take it all in and take it one step at a time and see what happens. And I'm open to a lot of things, but I'm just trying to make sure I keep myself in a position where I'm able to put my best foot forward, because I know what it's like to not enjoy it and not put my best foot forward.
It's been a while since you've been to Japan, right? Like, it was before the pandemic, right?
Yeah, 2019 was the last time I was there. And I've had opportunities. Sure. That being said, I have become increasingly a homebody over my years, which is something you wouldn't expect of a pro wrestler. You think they get more used to being on the road, but it's like, I don't want to be away from my girlfriend and my dog for 6 weeks at a time. It's like, I'm looking at like 2 weeks max. And, you know, a lot of companies right now are in the position where they're trying to bring guys out for longer term deals. And, like, even that 2 weeks is like mentally like, ooh, that's a long time, you know? So we'll see what happens. I'm open to it. Like I said, it's just gotta be the right situation.
Also, we had mentioned your return, obviously, but a very cool moment, very special moment, especially for diehard MLW fans, of which you are such a huge part of that history. And especially that title reign that you had was historic in length. Not only that, the one that preceded that you had that led into it. Like, you were a champion, it felt like, for 4 or 5 years in a row at that point. And to come back and to get that reaction and have that audience welcome you with open arms, how was that leading up to it? Like, did you all take any precautions or measures to kind of keep it quiet? And how did you feel when you heard that reaction?
Well, we definitely made sure I wasn't roaming around the venue when fans weren't there. You know, we tried our best to, like, not announce anything, but I'm on Twitter, you know, the day of, and of course I see, like, somebody's leaked it where they're like, I think Hammerstone's backstage. It's like, but luckily it didn't get so much traction that it ruined the surprise. It was still a cool moment, a cool surprise. But it's just rewarding. It's, you know, a pat on the back and a reminder that I created something with the help of many other people that's long lasting. And it's like, it's crazy that people are still talking about these matches from like 5 years ago. People are like, oh, where did Jacob Fatu come from? This guy's crazy. Like, yeah, go notch his matches with Hammerstone. It's like, that was 4 or 5 years ago. You're like, yeah. But it's still a match that stood the test of time and created something special. And that's, you know, for fans who want to downplay the significance of a company like MLW, they've created a lot of stuff that's stood the test of time and that people remember, that people still talk about, and it still means something to them, you know. But to counteract that point, that was like the most important part of my phone call with Court with coming back was, okay, I like MLW. I'd like to come back, but anytime someone talks about MLW and Hammerstone, it's, oh, you got to watch this trio, this trio of matches with Jacob Fatu. And it's like, if I'm going to come back, that's legacy anymore. We're going to write new chapters. We're going to take it to the next level, because for as great as that part of my career was, and like, I will always love it. I'll probably be an old man showing my grandkids this match on YouTube someday. At the same time, I don't want that to be where I peaked. I'm still got a couple good years left in the tank, and I want to be able to one up that.
We encourage you guys, check out Azteca Lucha. It's May 10th in Chicago, another sold-out show for MLW. They have been on a hot streak of those sold-out shows. Alex Hammerstone, it's good to see you healthy. It's good to see you back. Good to talk to you again, my friend. Let the people know where they can support you and follow you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on all the social medias, at Alex Hammerstone or Alex Hammerstone or Alexander Hammerstone or some form of the thing. You search Hammerstone, you're gonna find me somewhere. But yeah, support, keep up to date, for my schedule. Keep up on the MLW website for their schedule. Like I said, or like you said, they've been on this hot streak with these sellout shows. So I know a lot of people are the kind who like to sit on their hands till the day or two before to buy a ticket to something because they're not sure. But if these are the shows you want to make it to, you gotta get your tickets early because we're creating some really good stuff, and I'm determined to take it to the next level.
Alex Hammerstone, I thank you so much. Until next time, my friends, we're out.
Take care, Sean.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.